إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 8th session, reading from Minhaj أهل السنة والجماعة في العقيدة والعمل, the methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning creed and actions, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, رحمه الله. Our topic tonight is a continuation of the second point that the Shaykh mentions, طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة في عبادة الله, يعني the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we started with this topic, and the Shaykh mentioned some of the critical elements that are necessary in order for a person to observe proper worship of Allah. And also he began to talk about the the refutation of some of the shubuhat, yani the doubtful matters or the false ideas that people have presented in order to justify their innovation in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue with that topic. Before we do that, we're going to just look quickly at some of the points that we covered last week related to the refutation of the doubts of the people of innovation or their claims that they use to justify their innovation. The first question from questionnaire study guide number 7 is mentioned that two questions offered by the author, rahimahullah, to refute those who claim their innovations in Allah's deen to be good. The two questions that the Shaykh offered, Murshid.
The first question is, was there something hidden to the Messenger
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
And the second question is, was there something he knew about but he concealed it and no one from the Salaf knew about it?
Naam. So the Shaykh is saying that if a people come and they claim that something they have innovated in the deen, they claim that it's good, this is hasana, this is a good thing, yani, then the Shaykh is saying, so we should simply, yani, ask them, number one, the goodness that you're claiming is in this innovated action, that's not based in the Quran or Sunnah, but there's some good in it. Is it something that the Prophet ﷺ knew about? Was it hidden from him? Was it concealed from him? And this is the first question. Yani, in other words, he didn't know about it. That's why he didn't, yani, convey it to us. And the second question is, if they said, no, he knew about it, then the question is, so did he know about it, but yet he concealed it? He concealed it. He didn't deliver it to the people. And the Shaykh is saying both of these, yani, questions, yani, either way they go, yani, it's evil, one worse than the other. These are the two questions. Yani, was this good that they claim is in the innovated action, was it, yani, hidden from the Prophet, he didn't know about it, or sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or did he know about it but he concealed it, he didn't deliver it to the people? These are the two questions that the Shaykh asks. And if you understand these two questions, then it's very simple to ask the question to the person who claims that there's some, yani, good in the innovated actions, yani, they have no escape. Yani, either way they go, yani, it's trouble for them. Question number 2, what is our response, yani, to the first one? If they claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have knowledge of this good, if they said, yani, the reason why he didn't convey it to the people is because he didn't know it, that's why he didn't convey it, what is our response to them? I'm going to start with Omar, since Omar is a little bit older than you. Naam. So, yani, the answer to this, if they claim that the Prophet ﷺ didn't know, then we will say to them that they have actually accused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of a very horrible thing, and that is they claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? Is what?
Ignorant.
Ignorant of the deen of Allah. Ignorant of the sharia of Allah. The deen that he was missioned and sent to convey to the people. Then they are saying he didn't know. He's ignorant. And this is obviously, unacceptable. The question number three, what is our response if they claim that the Prophet ﷺ had knowledge of the good that is in this innovation, the good that they claim is in this innovation, but he concealed it? What if they say, yes, he had knowledge of it. He wasn't ignorant of it, but he concealed it. What do we say to them? Naam, ya Abdul Haq.
وصفت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمين الكريم بالخيانة.
Naam. So the second option that they have is to claim that, okay, we're not saying that he's ignorant of it, but he knew about it, however he concealed it. He didn't deliver it to the people, and we will respond to them by saying that this is even more evil. This is worse than the first option. That is, that here the person has done what? They have actually accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of khiyana. Of what? Khiyana. What is khiyana?
Betraying or
Mistrustful, violating the trust that was given to him when he was missioned to deliver the message to the people. And he violated the trust. He didn't deliver it. This is what the Ahlul Kitab did. Allah mentioned in the Quran that they were given the book and they were told to make it clear to the people, and they concealed it. So this is even more evil than the first, to make a claim or an accusation, a horrible accusation against the Prophet ﷺ that he concealed it. And also, the Shaykh, he said what? That they are also accusing the Prophet ﷺ of being stingy with his knowledge, not sharing it with the people, when we know that the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous. Rather, accusing him of being stingy with knowledge is worse than accusing him of being stingy with money. Accusing him of being stingy with money. Because knowledge is more important, and the people are more in need of the knowledge than they are of money. Poor people with no money, they can worship Allah if they have knowledge, right? But if a person doesn't have knowledge, it doesn't matter how much money they have. They can't worship Allah without knowledge. The fourth question, what is our response if they claim that the Prophet ﷺ had knowledge of it and conveyed it, but it did not reach us? They said, okay, we're not saying that he was ignorant, we're not saying that he concealed it. He delivered it, but it didn't reach us. It got lost somewhere.
In that, they are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't preserve his sharia.
They're saying that Allah didn't preserve the sharia. He's revealed the Quran to deliver to the people his laws, his rules, his guidance. And they're saying then that Allah has not protected and preserved. While Allah said in the Quran what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one who revealed the dhikr, and he said that he will protect and preserve it. So if they claim that anything from the sharia, that Allah revealed the Quran in order to deliver to the people, was lost, then they are contesting, challenging the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said, indeed, definitely, certainly, we will protect and preserve this message, this deen. Question number five, mention a clear and decisive dalil that there are absolutely no good innovations in the deen of Allah. A clear, decisive dalil that there are no innovations, no bid'ah in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, ya Musa.
Kullu bid'atin dalala.
The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu bid'atin dalala. And how is this decisive? What's so decisive about this statement? Naam, ya Mustafa.
It's
kullu. 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 Every. And it means that it's absolute. It's all inclusive. It's am. Shamil. It doesn't leave out anything. There's no la yustathna minhu. There's no exception from this. When the Prophet ﷺ said kullu bid'ah, rather this is the strongest word that a person can use to emphasize this meaning of something being all inclusive without any exception. This is the strongest word in the Arabic language that could be used to indicate kulliyah, that something is total, absolute, covering all, without any exception. Naam. Question number six, what is the intended meaning of the hadith? Whoever establishes a sunnah hasana, a good precedent in Islam, and he will have the reward of it and the reward of those who follow, who act upon it after him until Yawm Qiyamah. What is the meaning of? Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Now, I'm going to go to Abdul Haq. Give Abdul Haq a chance today.
The Sheikh said that man sanna fil Islam means that something that the precedent from the deen of Islam, not from
some setting a precedent, yani something that is from the deen of Islam. Naam.
So it means that the one who did something from the sunnah of the Prophet and the people copy it, so it has
a... So somebody did something that's from the sunnah and the people follow him in it, and this is the meaning of man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Anybody want to add to that anything? Naam, ya Abdul Qawi. Another meaning. Now, second meaning. Now, I mean, that's the second meaning. Now, yeah. But the first meaning, right, that he's alluding to is al-mubadara ila al-amal. Yani the person hastening to act upon something that's already established in the Sharia. It's from the Sunnah, and that person is hastening al-mubadara bil-amal. Yani meaning being the first one to act upon it. Yani huwa amala, amalahu awwalan. And in this way, the Shaykh said, the one who acted upon it first became like he is an imam for the people in the good, and the people follow him, and therefore, and he gets the reward of his action that he did, and also the reward of the people who followed him in it, that he was the imam for them in it. Naam.
The second
thing. Let's just try to take. Yani, the important thing here is that the first thing is that this particular meaning is clear from the circumstances of the hadith itself. So it's not somebody in their own mind interpreting this in a way that they want to interpret it. Rather, it's clear from that, and that's why I ask in the next question, number 7, summarize the circumstances surrounding this statement of the Prophet ﷺ. What was the circumstance? In summary, the Shaykh in his yani presentation, he summarized the hadith. Last week we mentioned the whole hadith that's reported by Imam Muslim. But the Shaykh summarized. What's the summary of the circumstances surrounding this event in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this statement? Naam, ya Mustafa. Mustafa al-awwal. Anta al-thani. Or who al-akbar wa anta al-asghar. I don't know.
So, very briefly, from what I remember, there were some people, very poor people.
Okay, some people, very poor.
That came to the Prophet.
Came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
They were so poor that they didn't have enough clothes to wear.
They didn't even have proper clothing to wear.
And apparently food to eat and stuff like that.
Naam. Right. So, their poverty was apparent. Yani to whoever saw them. Naam.
The face of the Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam, it changed the facial expression of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeing the condition that these people were in, and out of compassion for them, sympathy. Now,
he asked
Bilal to call the adhan. Yeah, okay. He asked Bilal to call the adhan, and they made the prayer. And after the prayer, Prophet gave a talk to the people. Okay, so the summary: the Prophet urged the people. He urged the people. Yani to give charity. He mentioned some ayahs from the Quran, and he also encouraged the people strongly to give charity. And then, upon his urging, a man from the Ansar came with a big bag of money. Some of the explainers of the hadith said it was a bag of silver coins. It was so heavy that he couldn't even lift it. So he dragged it and placed it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what happened? Other people, when they saw him doing it, they also came and followed. Some people bringing food, some people bring clothing, people giving whatever they had to give. Until what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He became happy. His face is bright, shining out of happiness and joy. Yani that the people have responded to help those who are really in need. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana, falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha min ba'dihi ila yawm qiyamah." Yani according to the narrations of the hadith. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ then made this statement. Upon what? Upon seeing the man who was first in initiating, acting upon, executing the sunnah, and the other people following him, taking his lead. And then the Prophet said, whoever, yani, initiates, establishes a good sunnah. The meaning here is not, yani, that he shara, legislated something new. Rather, he amala bihi awwalan. He acted upon it before everyone else. He was the first one, al-mubadara. He hastened to be the first one to act, and other people followed him. And for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ said that he was like an imam for the people, and so that he would get a reward for doing that good deed, and a reward for the people who followed him in it. And this, the context of the hadith makes it crystal clear that this is really the meaning of man sunna fil Islam, sunnatan hasana. Doesn't mean somebody legislating, making up something new that's not from the Sharia, that's not in the Quran or the Sunnah. Rather means the one who acted upon the Sunnah first, and the other people followed them in it. I hope that is clear, inshallah. But this is very important, because some people are saying, man sunna fil Islam, sunnah hasana, they interpreted to what? Bid'ah hasana. So they made up something, and then they said, look, the Prophet said, man sunna fil Islam, sunnah hasana. So I'm bringing a hasana. But it's not sunnah hasana. Bid'ah hasana you came with. And the Prophet and the Shaykh, he said in his explanation, like brief, he said, man sunna fil Islam makes clear to us. Man sunna fil Islam means there has to be something that's in Islam. Not kharij anil Islam. Something that's from Islam. Sunnah hasana, it has to be hasana, he said. It has to be good. And bid'ah is not good at all. It's not good. Bid'ah is not hasana. Bid'ah is evil. Sayyah. Naam? And the last question, mention another possible explanation of the hadith, whoever established a sunnah hasan, a good person in Islam. That's meaning for Abdul Qawi. What's the other meaning? Somebody comes and revives, brings back to life, reminds the people, teaches the people. Yani a sunnah that had been present, and then the people lost it, they forgot about it. And somebody revives it, brings it back to life. Yani ahyaha. They brought it back to life. And so this, yani, is one of the possible meanings of this hadith, that there's a sunnah that the people were not practicing anymore. And then somebody brought it back. And then the people followed them in it. And they will get the reward of that deed and the reward of those who follow them in it. Naam. Okay, this is a summary of what we covered last week. And tonight, we want to continue with the Shaykh's explanation or refutation of other arguments. Another argument that the people of innovation, yani, have come with in order to somehow justify, yani, that what they are doing is actually something good, yani, that is permissible, that is lawful, that is legal. Today, inshallah, we want to read from in the Arabic from page 14, the middle of the page. Maybe, hopefully, to the end of this topic, which is on the top of a little couple of lines on the top of page 17. We're going to start on page 14 in the middle of the page. And as far as in the English, again, as I mentioned last week, the rest of the translation of this chapter, number 2, the second part, is there's no English translation for it. Yani the English translation stopped at page 24. So there's nothing remaining in the translation. But in any case, in the Arabic, we're going to read from 14, page 14, middle of the page. Keeping in mind that the 7 points that the Sheikh mentions, yani from the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal, and the first of them is in reference to the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, and the second one of them is in reference to the implementation, the execution of giving Allah His exclusive rights of being worshipped alone. And the Shaykh mentioned in reference to this that it should be including 3 elements, that is to worship Allah, yani what? Lillahi wa billahi wa fillahi, yani meaning that we should do it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, with help from Allah alone, isti'ana billah, and also doing it yani within the Sharia, in accordance with the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after mentioning that clarification, then he went on to say yani that what about the people who yani who have invented innovations in the worship of Allah, and they're worshiping Allah with other than the Sharia, other than yani this third element, that is worshiping Allah fillah, yani fi shariatillah, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the arguments was yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever yani establishes a good sunnah, then they will have reward for it. So they are saying that what they are establishing is a good sunnah, when in reality it's an evil bid'ah. It's not good and it's not sunnah. The Shaykh, after that, he goes to another argument that they make, yani the people of innovation, to try to justify the innovation. He says, وَلَا يَرِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَا ابْتَدَعَ مِنَ الْوَسَائِلِ وَمَا ابْتُدِعَ مِنَ الْوَسَائِلِ الْمُوَصِّلَةِ إِلَى الْأُمُورِ الْمَشْرُوعَ. Yani in the book it says al-umur al-sharia, but I think that it's actually a mistake. It should be al-umur al-mashru'a. So the Shaykh is saying here, the wasail al-muwassila ila al-umur al-mashru'a. The wasail means the means, the instruments, the tools, the things that a person can use that will help them to reach the yani establishment or the yani execution of the al-umur al-mashru'ah, yani the things that have been legislated in the Sharia. Yani there are some yani wasail, means, yani some instruments or tools or things that can help a person to act upon, to execute, to implement the things that have been established in the Sharia. And so the means that the people may use today in the modern time may be a little different than the means that the people were using 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. So the Ahl Bidah, they took this and said, look, the people are using some things, they're worshipping a different way. Yani they are printing the Quran. Before, the Quran used to be carved on some wood or on some hides or something, and now they're using printing press printing the Quran, you see? So now they're using, this is invented, this is new, right? This is not yani the original way it used to be done. So they're looking at this, the means, and they're claiming it is as though yani it's the same as what they're doing. Yani they're actually making up new ways of worship. Yani printing the Quran is not yani the worship. The worship is reading the Quran. Okay? So what they're trying to confuse the people, the difference between the wasail, the means to the enactment or the achievement of what Allah has legislated, the ways that He legislated for us to worship Him, they're going to confuse the means that may help you to do those things that Allah has legislated with the thing itself, the worship, the act of worship. This is the thing that the Shaykh is addressing here. So he says, yani these wasail al-muwassila ila al-umur al-mashru'ah, yani the means that are used in order to reach the things that Allah has legislated, the acts of worship, acts of worship that Allah has legislated, the means to reach those things do not come under the rule of kullu bid'ah dalala. Because kullu bid'ah means bid'ah in the worship itself, not in the way you printed the Quran or that you built a school for children to come and learn in, and before they used to sit out on the dirt or sit in under a tree or sit in the masjid, and now they're in a school building. Okay? The Shaykh is saying that there's a difference between the wasail, the means, and the yani, the actual acts of worship. So the Shaykh says, this, yani these means, even though the Ahl Bidah are talking so much about it, and they have used as a base, they have used this as a rule to base their bid'ah upon, that these people are using new means, so we're also doing new ways of yani, but new ways of worship, not means to worship. So they use this as a base for them to establish their innovations upon it. And the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا نَصِيبُ لَهُمْ مِنْهَا. But there's nothing in this for them. There's no portion in this for them as a proof or evidence or justification for their innovation. إِلَّا أَن يَكُونُ الرَّاكِمْ should be عَلَى الْمَا. Yani the preposition عَلَى is missing. إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ الرَّاكِمْ عَلَى الْمَاءِ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ الْحُرُوفِ بَارِزَةٌ فِي الْمَاءِ or بَارِزَةً فِي الْمَاءِ. Yani there's no proof for them in this, unless you would say that there's some benefit in the writer who writes upon the water, who writes upon the water, to make the letters that he is writing appear. Yani writing on water. Is there any benefit in writing on water? There's no benefit. The Shaykh is saying, the same way there's no benefit in them using this argument. Yani this is like a method that the Arabs use, الراكم على الماء. And it means the person who's doing something that's impossible, that nobody else can do, or something, in this case, that is of no real benefit. And if you want to write something, writing on the water is of no benefit whatsoever. Using this as an argument is of no benefit. There's no proof in it for them. That's what the Shaykh is saying here. He said, I say, إِنَّ بَعْدَ النَّاسِ يَسْتَدِلُّونَ عَلَى تَحْسِينِ بِدْعِهِمْ الَّتِي يَبْتَدَعُوهَا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَالَّتِي يَلْزَمْ مِنْهَا مَا سَبَقَ ذِكْرُهُ بِمَا أَحْدَثَ مِنَ الْوَسَائِلِ لِغَايَاتٍ مَحْمُودَةٍ. Yani some of the people, yani the Ahl Bidah, يَسْتَدِلُّونَ, they are using as a delil or a proof for them claiming that there is some goodness in their bid'ah, in their innovations, which they have invented in the deen of Allah, and which is subject to what we have mentioned previously. Yani their innovations are subject to what we mentioned previously against yani bid'ah. They're saying that they're using as a proof to show that there is some goodness in their bid'ah, yani that which has been newly invented of wasail means for the ghayat mahmuda. Ghayat means the objectives, that are praiseworthy objectives, meaning the acts of worship that a person yani wants to do in order to get near to Allah, to earn the pleasure of Allah. Yani this is the ghaya, means the objective, the goal that you're trying to. Okay, there's the wasila, a means, and there's a ghaya. The ghaya is the goal, and the yani wasila is the means to reach the goal. So there's a difference between the wasila, the means to establish something, and the ghaya, the thing itself, the goal, the objective, meaning the act of worship that you want to do in order to earn the pleasure of Allah. There's a difference between the two. And they are saying, they are trying to use, yani people using modern means, like a microphone to call the adhan, using a microphone to call the adhan, just to what? Amplify, to amplify their voice. So they are using a microphone, so you see they are using new means. So let's make some new ways of worship. Let's pray a different way, a new way. It's just the same as that. They didn't used to use microphones before. But actually, the act of worship is the announcement of the time for prayer, not the means that you use to make the announcement. Yani that you use a microphone that has used electricity or batteries or whatever. Yeah, they didn't have electricity and batteries. But still, they used to have some kind of way to amplify the voice, right? Go up on a high place on top of the masjid, and a person will raise their voice real loud. So that's how they amplified it. Now they amplify it with modern means. But that's not the point. The point is the act of worship itself, we can't make new acts of worship. As far as the means to achieve the act of worship, then that's a different matter altogether. So the Shaykh is saying, they use as a proof, احتجوا على ذلك بجمع القرآن. Okay, one of the things that they use as a proof is the collection, the compilation of the Qur'an. وتوحيده في مصحف واحد. Yani the collection of the Qur'an that was in separate yani writings. It wasn't collected in a book form, in one book, a mushaf. Okay, so they're saying, look, the people at the time of the Prophet saw something. It wasn't a mushaf, one book with all the Qur'an in it, in orderly fashion, in chapters and verses. Well, that didn't exist. So now some people came and they gathered the Quran together and they put it together in one book, in a mushaf, wahid. They're saying that this is a new way of doing something. So we also want to make up some new ways. But this is just, the collecting of the Quran is the wasila. It's from the wasail, the means of enabling the people to have access to the Quran so that they can worship Allah by reading the Quran. Or by ta'lif. That now the later scholars started writing books. And in the time of the Prophet, people weren't writing books. So the people started writing books, what? In order to teach, to educate the people. This is a goal in Islam, teaching people. And this is a means of teaching the people by writing books. And likewise, bina dur al-ilm, yani building of institutes of learning, institutions, places, building of buildings where people go to learn. And that didn't exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or other than this, from that which is yani mimma huwa wasail la ghayat. Yani they're using things that are actually just means to establishing or achieving that which is established as an act of worship in the Sharia. They're not doing new acts of worship, but rather we're just using some modern means to execute those things that Allah has established in the Sharia. So all the examples that they bring are things that are wasail, but they themselves are actually yani doing new acts of worship. Not just new means, but new acts of worship. So here the Shaykh says, فَهُنَاكَ فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ الشَّيْءَ الَّذِي يَكُونُ وَصِيلَةً إِلَىٰ غَايَةٍ مَحْمُودَةً مُثْبَتَةٍ شَرْعًا. Yani there's a difference between the thing which is a means to the achievement of a غَايَة مَحْمُودَة, a praiseworthy goal. مُثْبَتَة, yani which is established shara'an, in the Sharia. There's something that's praiseworthy. It's established in the Sharia. There's a difference between the means to help us choose, to help us achieve that praiseworthy act of worship that's established in the Sharia. There's a difference between using modern means and making new ways of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not established in the Sharia. So Shaykh is saying there's a difference between the two. وَلَكِنَّهَا يعني this غاية محمودة, this praiseworthy objective that's established in the Sharia, لكنها لا تتحقق إلا بفعل هذه الوسيلة. But it will not be achieved or realized except by using this means. So the people are using some modern means that were not used in the past in order to help them, to facilitate, to make it easier to do the act of worship that the people are doing today. فَهَذِي الْوَسِيلَةِ طَبَعًا. So the means, this means, طَبَعًا, I mean certainly, of course, naturally, تَتَجَدَّدُ بِتَجَدُّدُ الزَّمَنِ وَتَخْتَلِفُ بِإِخْتِلَافِ الْأُصُورِ. So naturally, the means, when as time goes on, in modern times, they're going to be modern means. They're going to be different means in different ages throughout history. Different means, new ways. But the act of worship remains the same, that which Allah has established, yani in His Sharia. So now the Shaykh, he gives an example of the of modern means, a clear example, and he mentions from the Quran. وَهَاهُنَا أَوْ هَاهُوَا قَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَاعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 60th Ayah. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi'l amr, command from, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ, and prepare for them, make preparations, مَا اسْتَطَاعْتُمْ, whatever you are able, according to your ability, مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, of strength, of force, any military forces, prepare whatever you can prepare. أَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَاعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. So the preparation of quwwa, of military strength, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ is other than the preparations, yani, of military strength in this time of ours now. It's different. Military preparations at that time was one way. Military preparations today is different. فَإِذَا مَا أَحْدَثْنَا عَمَلًا مُعَيِّنًا نَتَوَصَّلُ بِهِ إِلَىٰ إِعْدَادِ الْقُوَّةِ. So if we come up, أَهْدَحْنَا عَمَلًا مُعَيِّنًا, with a particular way of reaching, achieving the preparations, military preparations for war, إِعْدَادُ الْقُوَّةِ, فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ بِدْعَةُ وَسِيلَةٍ. And this means we are making something new in the means, بِدْعَةُ وَسِيلَةٍ. لَيْسَتْ بِدْعَةُ غَايَةٍ. This is not something new in the objective, the actual act of worship. It's just something new in the means, not in the actual act that a person does, يَتَقَرُّ بِهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that they do in order to get near to Allah. وَلَكِنَّهَا بِدْعَةُ وَسِيلَةٍ. And the Shaykh is saying, so yes, the people might have new means, that's okay, but not new ways of worship. Yani the point here, the Shaykh is saying what? That the way the people used to prepare for war in the old days, 1,000 years ago, is different than the way the people prepare for war, yani, today. And in those times, they had horses and camels and swords, and today they have planes and tanks and missiles. It's different. But the preparation is what Allah is talking about. Prepare for them. Modern means of preparation, no problem. But the point is what? Preparation. Allah ordered us to prepare. So it's required to prepare. Do we have to use the old means of preparation? No. Now we're in modern times, we use new means. The Shaykh says here, he mentions the qaida muqarrara, yani an established, agreed upon, basic, fundamental principle in Islam. ومن القواعد المقررة عند أهل العلم أن للوسائل أحكام المقاصد. يعني للوسائل, for the means that are used to achieve the goal, they have the أحكام of the مقاصد. They have the same rulings as the objective itself. يعني the means takes on the same ruling as the objective. This particular qaida has been worded differently in different places, but the meaning is basically the same. للوسائل أحكام المقاصد. So the point the Shaykh is saying here, what? That if the maqsad, the hadaf, the ghaya, the objective is established in the sharia, then the means to it takes the same ruling as it. But if the, yani the ghaya, the objective, the goal, the act of worship that the person is doing is not established in the sharia, then the means to it also takes the same role, meaning it became unlawful. So the means to achieve the goal is based upon the goal itself. If the goal is lawful, then using new means is permissible. And in this way we know, and there's a word missing here, will be هذا نعرف نعرف أنما تلجلج به مبتدع الحوادث في دين الله باستدلالهم بمثل هذه القضايا أنه ليس لهم فيها دليلا دليل أبدا لأن كل ما حصل فهو وسائل لغايات محمودة. Yani from this presentation, or from this idea, what the Shaykh has presented here, yani the difference, the farq between the wasila and the ghaya, the means to the thing and the actual act of worship, that is what we are intending, and that what we are seeking to get near to Allah by, differentiating between them is very, very important. From this we come to know that the constant, ongoing yani talk of the people of bid'ah who have invented these new ways in the deen of Allah, that their istidlal, they're using this as a proof, yani that people are using modern means today to justify them yani making new ways of worship. We know from this that they have no, there's no proof in this for them at all, because everything that they brought as an example or proof to justify what they're doing, they're all wasail, only means that are used to achieve ghayat mahmuda, yani praiseworthy objectives, praiseworthy things that are established in the sunnah. So the Shaykh, he goes back and he just yani emphasized this point. He said, collecting the Quran, yani in collecting the pages of the Quran into one book, into a mushaf, and whatever is similar to that, all of this is only yani wasail, means لغاياتٍ, for objectives or goals that are legislated في نفسها. يعني these يعني غايات, they are what? مشروعة في نفسها. يعني they themselves have been legislated. The غاية, the goal, the objective has been legislated, and the only thing we're talking about here is means, new ways, يعني modern ways in order to establish those acts of worship that Allah has prescribed for us. So it is incumbent, فَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَ الْغَايَةِ وَالْوَسِيلَةِ. This is the point that the Shaykh is saying. It's incumbent to distinguish between the غاية, the objective, the goal, the act of worship, and the means to it. These are two different things. فَمَا قَصَدَ لِذَاتِهِ فَقَدْ تَمَّ تَشْرِيعُهُ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بِمَا أَوْحَاهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ الْعَظِيمِ وَالسُّنَّةِ الْمُطَهَّرَةِ. So, the Shaykh is saying here, what? فَمَا قَصَدَ لِذَاتِهِ. That which is intended in and of itself, not the means, but the actual act of worship, فَقَدْ تَمَّ تَشْرِيعُهُ. This has been, يعني, legislated. Its legislation has been completed from the Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام, based upon what Allah has revealed to him in the magnificent Kitab, the Qur'an, and in the pure Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani the thing that is intended, ma qasada li dhatihi, the act of worship, all of this, yani the legislation of this has been completed, has been finalized with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on what was revealed to him by Allah in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Waladayna walillahi alhamd aya natluha fi kitab illahi wa huwa hiya qawluhu ta'ala اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. يعني سورة مائدة 5th surah 3rd ayah. The Shaykh said, we have an ayat, Alhamdulillah, that we recite in the book of Allah, yani as a proof against them. Yani meaning that what? That what is intended, the ghaya, the goal, the objective, the actual act of worship, well, the acts of worship have all been legislated, completed, finalized. Nothing new is coming. There's no way you could bring new acts of worship, because we have an ayat that we recite in the book of Allah, and it is the saying of Allah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today, I have perfected, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have perfected for you your deen, and completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Al-Islam as your deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here what? That the deen is completed, it's finalized. There's no adding anything to it. I know the time is upon us, but let me just, like a little bit of the tafsir of this ayat. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, the meaning of أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ means تَكْمِيلُ الشَّرَاعِ الظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنَةُ الْأُصُولُ وَالْفُرُوعُ. Yani that means the completion, the perfection of the laws. Yani الظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنَةُ, that which has been legislated, to be seen, to be done openly and inwardly. The usul and the furu', the fundamentals and the branches, meaning the aqidah and the yani acts of worship. All of this has been finalized, it's completed. And for this reason, the book and the sunnah are sufficient, totally sufficient, for what? Ahkam al-deen, usuluhu wa furu'i. Yani for the laws of this deen, the legislations of this deen, whether it's from the fundamentals, the aqidah, or the branches, Yani the acts of worship. So every person who comes and claims that the people need something else in their aqidah and their laws, other than that which came in the Quran and the Sunnah, this person is jahil. They are jahil, the Shaykh said. And they are false in their claim. Because they have claimed, because what? قَدْ زَعْمَ أَنَّ الدِّينَ لَا يُقْمَلْ إِلَّا بِمَا قَالَهُ وَدَعَ إِلَيْهِ. Because they have claimed what? That this deen is not complete except with what they are saying or that which they are calling to. They are bringing something new. So this person is jahil and they are false in their claim. And the Shaykh said this is one of the greatest yani dhulm and the greatest ignorance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, if the muhdathat, these things that they are invented newly, if it was so that there was something from them that the deen is completed from it, لَكَانَتْ قَدْ شُرِيَتْ. If there was something in what they are claiming that completes the deen, then the Shaykh said, number one, it would have already been legislated. And number two, it would have been made clear. And number three, it would have been conveyed. And number four, it would have been preserved. If there was something in what they are claiming that completes the deen, it would have already been legislated. And it would have been made clear by the Prophet ﷺ, and it would have been delivered to the people, and it would have been protected and preserved. Look at how the Shaykh closed the door completely. وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ يَكُونُ فِيهِ كَمَالُ الدِّينِ بَلْ نَقْصٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. But rather there's nothing in what they are bringing that is for the completion of the deen. Rather it is yani defective to the deen. It's a defect, imperfection, yani spoiling the deen. So, yani in summary, and the Shaykh here is saying that there are some people who use as an argument that amongst the Muslims there are those who are using some having some practices or utilizing certain things that are new and that are modern, that wasn't used in the time of the Prophet ﷺ or in the early generation of the Muslims. And since these people are using new things in the course or in the process of doing their worship, then what's the problem with us then doing something new in our worship? The answer is that what the people are using as means are means. And what you are talking about is not means. You're talking about the actual act of worship, making something new in worship. And that is prohibited. There's nothing new that can be added to this deen. Because what? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And Allah said, I've completed the deen. So there's nothing to come after this. It's complete, it's perfect. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended, it has already been legislated. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear to the people, so they know what it is. And it has been conveyed, it has been delivered, and it has been preserved, because Allah said He would preserve it. So now when somebody came with something new, there's no way, we can't accept it. And this is a very important point, because yani, bid'ah is widespread amongst the Muslims today, and it's incumbent upon us to comprehend clearly yani, how to clarify the issue, so that we ourselves are not misled, and so that we can also help other people to prevent them from being misled, or to save them after they have fallen into the trap of the people of innovation. And in the trap of those who want to. And I mentioned it before. I saw today something. Yani, I saw it a little bit better today. And I learned it a little bit better. What I saw a man doing in the masjid today. He took two mushafs and put one on top of the other. And he opened one of them. One was bigger than the other one. A bigger one and a smaller one. And the first thing he did was he prostrated in a little space between where he put the mushafs in front of him. Not a full prostration, but just almost like prostrating in the place where he's sitting. To the Mus'haf, two of them. And then after he did that, he made taslim to both sides. And then he put his hands on the Mus'haf and started making dua. And then he picked the Mus'haf up and rubbed it on his face. I saw this today. I saw it before, but today I kind of memorized the course of how he did it, all of it. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. And where does the person come with this from? Oh, I missed the part. Naam. After he did all of that, wiped it off himself, then he ran his finger over the ayats of the Mus'haf. Over each line, his finger just go across the page. All the way down to the bottom and then to the next side. All the way down to the bottom. He's not reading, for sure. Maybe he doesn't even know how to read Arabic. But even if he does, he can't be reading because he's just moving his finger like that. What is this? This is worship? Wallahi, this to him is worship. But it's not worship. There's nothing in the deen of Allah like this. So the people have been misled by shaitan. And it's incumbent upon us to comprehend this affair. Otherwise, we could be a victim to this too. Don't imagine that that's other people. That I'm too smart for that. Some of these people might have PhDs and master's degrees. Could be university professors doing this. Yani, unbelievable things. They are actually doing things they consider this to be worship. I saw another man doing something else after the prayer. This is what he did. I know everybody can't see it, but for the brothers, you can see what I'm doing. He did something with his finger, and then he went like this. Up and down, back and forth, like he's making a sign of a cross. Like a cross, for real. I saw it years ago. Years ago, back in New York, the people from Tariqa Tijaniya. Yeah. I saw some brothers doing that. Years ago, 30 years ago. I saw it a couple of days ago. I saw a person doing that. I'm like, what is he doing? He's making the sign of the cross. Like the priests do in the church. What is that? And they do it in sujood too.
They have this long tasbih, they usually do that too.
So, Allahumma stan. Yeah, I know I got sidetracked a little bit, but only because I can't go on to the next point. So I'm just going to read, and then we're going to close, inshallah. I'm going to read a footnote from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen concerning this matter that we just got finished discussing. Qala Shaykh rahimahullah fi majmu' fatawa. In his collection of fatawa, volume 5, page 246. إِذَا تَقَرَّرَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَكَ أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُ. So if this became clear for you, O Muslim, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلُّ مَنْ ابْتَدَعَ شَرِيَةً فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ بِقَصْدٍ حَسَنٍ فَإِنَّ بِدَعَتَهُ هَذِهِ مَا قَوْنِهَا ضَلَالَةٌ تُعْتَبِرْ طَعْنًا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ وَتُعْتَبِرْ تَكْذِيبًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي قَوْلِهِ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 3. The Shaykh is saying, so if it became clear to you what we have said, yani about this innovation, and that yani there's nothing new in the deen of Allah, and Allah has completed His deen. If this is clear to you, then know that everyone who invents a sharia, a legislated act, into the deen of Allah, yani that's bid'ah, that's not from the deen of Allah. Walau biqasdin hasanan, even if they have a good intention, yani even if they're sincere, they really are not an evil person, they are not a criminal person, they're sincere. They're really making up something that they believe is good. Even so, then surely indeed, that person's innovation, in addition to the fact that it's misguidance, dalala, in addition to the fact that kullu bid'a dalala, not only that, but this is considered as ta'anan fi deenillah. It is considered as what? An attack upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also considered as takzeeban lillah, yani denying, yani declaring false, declaring something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is false when He said, today I have completed for you your deen, perfected and completed your deen. Then they are saying that this is not true. Allah has not completed and perfected His deen. Why? Because the mubtada alladhi ibtada shariatan fi deen illahi ta'ala wa laysa fi deen illahi ta'ala كأنه يقول بلسان الحال إن الدين لم يكمل لأنه قد بقي عليه هذه الشريعة التي ابتدعها يتقرب بها إلى الله عز وجل. يعني why is this considered to be an attack upon the deen of Allah and denial of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is because the innovator who has invented a new law, a new way of worship, a new sharia into the deen of Allah that is not from the deen of Allah, it is as though he is saying bilisan al-hal. Yani his actual condition, his situation, his circumstance, what he's doing is as though it is speaking to you without him talking. His doing this act, claiming that this is something that is an act of worship, that is something that will help you to get near to Allah, to earn the pleasure of Allah, his doing it is as though he's saying to you, inna deen lam yukmal. The deen has not been completed. Because there's something still remaining that he has now invented, the mubtada that he has invented in order to get near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he's saying to you, no, the deen has not been completed. Until I brought this that I came with now, that I just invented, or somebody else invented and I'm following them in it. And the Shaykh talks about this very strongly in what follows. So deen has not been completed and yet, because we still have something to add to it. It's sitting in the circle and making dua together, bid'ah. I was at a gathering and witnessed this. Sitting in a circle and making dua together. Yani, making dua together, sitting in a circle making dua together is not from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not from the way of the Prophet. I don't know exactly the details of what they're describing, but I know that if people are sitting in a circle and they make a circle in order to make dua, that's not from the sunnah. That's not from the sunnah for sure. And maybe there's some more specific details to it, but that's how the question came. okay, so yani, the point is here what? That whoever brings something new that wasn't yani established in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not found in the Quran, it's not found in the authentic sunnah, then that person is denying the truthfulness of the saying of Allah that he has completed and perfected the deen. They are denying that. They're saying this is not true, but now with what I brought it became completed and perfected. We needed this in order to complete and perfect the deen. This is a very serious matter. And yet, people every day, they are doing it all the time. Okay, the Shaykh, he makes another argument, and we have a few minutes, right? So, like, take part of the second argument that the Shaykh makes. قَدْ يَقُولُ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ إِنَّنَا نَجِدُ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَوَادِثِ نَجِدُ عَاطِفَةً دِينِيَةً وَرِقَّةً قَلْبِيَةً وَاجْتِمَاعًا عَلَيْهَا. Yani, some people are saying that we find in these newly invented ways, whether it's the sitting in the circle, or the dancing of the whirling, dervish. I don't know, whatever, those people dancing. I saw one of them, I thought he had to be, forgive the use of this word here, but just to be clear, I think he had to be somebody from America, a black person from America. The dance that he was doing, I don't think nobody in the world could dance like that. But it looked like he was in Morocco though. But he was dark, like an American. But the dancing that he was doing, the flipping and jumping and kicking his legs up, and then a twirl, that thing was fantastic. Yani, he could have definitely won a dancing contest with that. That was worship. Yani, Sufis were sitting in a circle, and this guy was in the middle of them, and he had to be 45 or 50 years old. He wasn't no kid. He was crazy, unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And the fact that they actually filmed it, they themselves filmed it and allow other people to see that, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable that they actually would let somebody see them doing that. So they said, the Sheikh said, these people who are making up this stuff, they said that we find in these practices, atifa diniya, like some type of religious enthusiasm, joy, spiritual excitement. Wa riqqa qalbiya, softening of the heart. Wa ijtima'an alayhi, something that we could gather upon. We come together and we're enjoying this. They're enjoying it, I guess. Yeah. It's weird, completely. It's really weird. The Shaykh is saying that their argument is what? That it's enjoyable, it's pleasant. This is spiritual excitement. We're getting excited. Like the Christians in the church with the, what they call them people? Is it the Baptists? No, I'm thinking about the, Pentecostals. Those people that say to get the jinn in them, Holy Ghost, and they dance and go crazy and stuff. That's what that probably was. Maybe he had a jinn inside him making him act like that. The Holy Ghost. The Shaykh said, we say to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَخْبَرَ عَنَ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنَّهُ قَالَ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. To the end of the ayat, Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 17th ayat. Yani, we will say to them that Allah has informed us about Shaitan, that Shaitan said, then I will come to them from in front of them and from behind them and from their right and from their left. Come from every direction upon them. Yani, come at them in different ways. Not always directly, from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left. Come from every angle at them. The Shaykh says, يُزَيِّنُهَا الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قَلْبَ الْإِنسَانِ. So, the Shaytan will make it attractive. He will adorn it in the heart of the person. These practices that they made up. لِيَصُدَّهُ عَمَّا خُلِقَ لَهُ. So that he will turn him away from that which he has been created for. يَعْنِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي شَرَعَ. Yani, so he will turn him away from what? The worship of Allah that Allah has legislated. So he makes this attractive to them. He adorns it for them in their heart. So then the person submitted and surrendered. فَتَرْضَخُ النَّفْسُ بِوَاسِطَةِ تَسَلُّطَ الشَّيْطَانِ. عَلَى الْمَرَى حَتَّى يَصُدُّهُ عَنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ. So the person will submit and surrender by the intercession of their being overcome by shaitan. تَصَلُّطَ الشَّيْطَان. Shaitan will overcome them. And then he will turn them away from the true deen. وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بِأَنَّ الشَّيْطَان يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ مَجْرَى الدَّمْ. And the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the messenger, he has also informed us that shaitan travels through the Ibn Adam, yani through the Ibn Adam, like the passages of blood passages. Yani goes through the body of the human being like blood goes through your body. The shaitan travels through a human being like this, overcomes the human being, makes them to feel good about something that's foreign to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith came in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, Muslim, from Umm al-Mu'mineen Safiya ibn Hayy. Yani radiallahu anha, when she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was at itikaf, and when he was leaving, he went to take her home, and he was walking down the street, and two companions from the Ansar, they saw him, and the Prophet sallallahu, and they started walking fast, and the Prophet told them, slow down. And they said, Subhanallah ya Rasulullah. Yani we don't have any suspicion of you. That's when he said, what? Shaitan goes through a human being like the blood goes through your body. Yani he's telling them, slow down, don't run away from, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is my wife, Safiya. This is my wife, Safiya. If the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is concerned and aware that people might be affected by shaitan to think evil of them if they're in a situation that could be suspicious, that a person could read in the wrong way, but he clarified himself, then what about you and I? How much more are we obligated then to clarify the situation? If anybody sees you in a situation that could be read in a different way, it's upon you not to be proud and say later from, I don't care what they think. No, you make it clear, because shaitan will enter that person and whisper to them and say something. If the Prophet ﷺ says shaitan may affect them, they might become suspicious of me. So I have to clarify it. Why would not people be suspicious of me and you? We're not the messenger of Allah. Shaitan will enter into the person and enter thoughts into their mind and make them think evil. I'm just going to stop here, and we're going to come back to this point. I just want to refer you to a couple of sayings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah said, just as a point, added to what the Shaykh said here, وَزَيْنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The Shaytan makes to them, and he makes زَيْنَ لَهُمْ, makes beautified to them that which they are doing. Shaytan does this to people when they are doing evil. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ عَمَالَهُمْ. Remember when Shaitan made their deeds seem good to them in their hearts. He deceived them and tricked them into thinking that something that they were doing was good. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ عَمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنَ السَّبِيلِ وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. Yani, Shaitan is constantly always making the people who are doing evil, sin, corruption, kufr, whatever, he's adorning it, making it beautified to them, so he'll turn them away from the way of the haq, sabil al-haq, and he'll turn them to the falsehood. While these were people who what? Had the ability to see, but he deceived them, he tricked them, and he led them astray. The Shaykh is saying what? That here, these people have been deceived by shaitan, they have been made to think that, we feel good about this, we feel good when we do it, it makes us feel good, we're happy, we're having fun, and therefore it must be good. Is that the criterion? That you feel good about it? The criterion is what Allah has legislated in the Quran and Sunnah. Not how you feel about it. People feel good about all kinds of things. People feel good about pure, clear, open, what they know is haram. They enjoy sinful behavior. They know it's haram. It's not even a doubtful matter. And they enjoy it. So what about something that there's shubha? They're not really sure that it's haram, but they're enjoying it. So if a person is enjoying something that they know is haram, and when they're doing it, they know it's haram, and they're enjoying it, and they might even later say, wow, those were good times, when we used to do this, that, and the other. Haram. That's about the clear haram. What about the haram that the bid'ah, that they don't even know is haram? The shaitan made it fair seeming to them, made it attractive and adorned in their heart, made them think that it's good. So this is the condition of especially the Sufiya, and people like this, that they are doing something, they feel good about it, they get in their little groups, and they dance and sing and chant or whatever, and they feel good. And they think that then it must be good, must be lawful, must be khair, must be hasan. In reality, the Shaykh said, this is nothing but the deception of a shaitan. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, and I'm not going to read now today, but the Shaykh goes on to say, and what follows, yani that the shaitan has been given authority over the people who take him as their, yani, the one that they follow. That if they take him, they follow him, they accept to follow him, and they make him a partner with Allah in the legislation. Yani, so they act upon that which Allah has not legislated, but that somebody else legislated. And this is the act of shirk. And only Allah has the right to legislate. And yani, we're going to just stop here with this. We'll come back to this point, you know, in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But before we close, I just want to, yani, I wrote a reminder for myself, because last week I forgot to announce that we're going to change the time of the class until after Isha. I meant to say that last week, but I didn't remember until I got home. So this time I write a note for myself. The class time is going to be after Isha. And because the time of Maghrib is very early now, and when we started this class, yani, we used to be praying Maghrib like the time that we're praying Isha now. Mm-hmm. That was the time that we were praying Maghrib. And now we're praying Isha at that time. So really, Maghrib is very early, and some people are just coming from work and have difficulty getting to the masjid. So we make the time a little bit later. According to our ability, we'll pray, you know, after Isha, we'll start the class after Isha. I hope there is no inconvenience for anybody. Starting next week, inshallah, I will send out a notification. But I just want to remind those who are here, and please let whoever you know that normally attend the class who may not be here, that we're going to start having the class after Isha. The second thing and the last thing I want to say is that the masjid is always in need of whatever help we can give. Please, yani, give generously for the maintenance of the masjid. And, you know, I don't feel bad asking you to give to the masjid, but it would be better if I didn't have to say anything. And if we just on our own, just know that we should be giving if we have the ability to give. Whoever has the ability to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is rich, Allah is not in need, but rather we are in need. And whatever we give for the sake of Allah, for sure Allah will compensate us for it, yani, many times over. Every good deed is multiplied by 10 up to 700. Ila ma sha' Allah. Ila ma sha' Allah. That means unlimited. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.